Almighty God. Thank you, Jesus. I want to take a moment and greet all of the guests that are here today. Everybody look around you for a second. If there's a face that you don't recognize, why don't you go shake their hand and greet them in Jesus' name. Welcome them into the house of the Lord. Thank you guys for being here with us. We're glad to have you. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, mighty God. We want to interrupt our regular service schedule that we normally have. I know you guys don't see me up here all the time, so two times in a month, that's a new record, right, Pastor? As many of you guys know, Lexi and I are going on a missions trip. We are going to the Indian Ocean Islands. It's a country in East off the coast of East Africa. It's a group of islands, I should say, a group of countries. And Lexi and I are here today to share our burden. We're going to have what you call a deputation service. So if you can just have an open heart and an open mind to what we're going to show you and the things we're going to speak, we want to convey our burden to you. It is with my great pleasure to welcome my better half to the platform right now, Lexi Samuel.
Praise the Lord, church. In Madagascar, they say, Darana Jesosi, which means praise Jesus. And the response to that is hallelujah. So Darana Jesosi, church. Darana Jesosi. Amen. I'm so glad to be with you all today. Thank you to Pastor and Bishop for allowing us the opportunity to share our burden with you guys. And thank you to my husband for allowing me the opportunity to speak. We just hit our 8-month anniversary yesterday. Thank you, Jesus. As I was in prayer last night, I began to ask God, God, please let today feel like a mission service. Let the people who are in APT today feel what we are so privileged to feel on the mission field. And I feel it this morning. Amen. You guys can be seated. So I want to talk to you for just a couple of minutes this morning about the call of God. The call of God must take priority above anything that prestige, power, or money have to offer us. When the Lord calls us to do something, that must become our priority. The call of God is important. It's the best yes you will ever give. I want to tell you guys a story. Many of you have heard it, but I'm going to tell it again. It's about a 6-year-old little girl. This little girl was standing at an altar one day. She had her hands held very high and tears streaming down her face. In those moments at the altar, she saw faces around her that didn't look like her. She heard languages that didn't sound like the language she spoke. In those moments, a burden came upon this little girl. A burden to reach souls all across the world. A burden that wouldn't be accepted or understood by many because she was only 6 years old. A burden that just grew over time. A burden that didn't have to wait till she got older, but that she just said, God, whatever my hands find to do, let them do it well. Let me do it with everything that I have. She had a burden that never went away, but it just grew bigger and bigger and bigger each time she went overseas. I was that little girl. I'm sure you know that. The one who was called at such a young age. I was 6 years old when I was called to the mission field. I stood at an altar with tears streaming down my face. And I accepted a love for people. A love for people I had never met. People that I may still not know to this day. When I got in the car that day, I proclaimed to my family, I'm going to be a missionary. And they were very supportive, but they also reminded me, Lexi, you can't spend the night away from home without crying right now. So we need lots of prayer so that you can go and be a missionary. I look back on those moments and I think, wow, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the opportunity to spread your love to the whole world. Thank you, God, for trusting a little 6-year-old with a burden. I stand before you today still ready to answer that call, saying, I trust you, God, no matter my circumstances, no matter what you ask me to do, I'm going to say yes. I'm so thankful for the opportunity to serve the Lord. In Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8, it says, "Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?' Then said I, 'Here I am, send me.'" Being called by God in any capacity is answering that call of Isaiah 6 and 8. When you answer the call of God on your life, you're saying, "Here I am, send me." The call of God must become our priority. The call of God comes first. What would happen if during these next 40 days of consecration, everyone in this room said, "Here I am, God, send me. Send me to the people of Fort Myers and the surrounding areas. Send me to Lee County, God. Send me to my workplace. Send me to the grocery store. Send me on a walk somewhere I've never been. Send my feet to the place they are to go. Send me to the person who needs your love today. Send me to the souls who are going to be won during our tent revival." What if we went out saying, "God, who needs a revelation of you today? Who needs to feel your love? Who needs to feel your power? Send me to them." God has sent you to the places that you go. Because if you are called to be a follower of God, you are called to be a missionary. We must treat every place that our feet touch as our own personal mission field, and we will see God bless it. I stand before you today ready to answer that call. And I pray that you're ready to do that with me today. God has called us to his kingdom, which means we are sent. There are people in this world that you will reach that I never can. There's people in this city that you can reach that I can't. Maybe you speak a language that I don't speak, and that's your access to somebody. Or maybe you can relate to certain situations that people are going through. That is your access to somebody. We see an example in Exodus chapter 3, verse 4. "And when the Lord saw that, he turned aside to see. God called him out of the midst of the bush and said, 'Moses, Moses.' And he said, 'Here am I.'" His response was, "Here am I." I don't know about you guys, but my goal is that when the Lord speaks to me, I want to be ready with a "Here am I." The story would look very differently if Moses didn't answer that call. If Moses was too busy scrolling on his phone, if Moses was too busy doing something else to hear what God was saying to him. But no, he was available and he said, "Here am I. Here am I, God, send me to a nation. Here am I, God, send me to the grocery store. Send my prayers to somebody who needs them. Send me. I'm here and I am ready." But how do we get to that point? We get to the "Here I am" through our availability. In Exodus 32, we saw the Lord said Moses, and Moses made himself available. He heard the voice of the Lord and immediately turned his ear to hear what the Lord was saying. That's what we have to do. We turn our ear to what God is saying. When he speaks, we obey, which is exactly what Moses models to us in the following scriptures. We see another example in Luke chapter 5, verses 4 through 6. We see an example of obedience and availability through this. It says, "Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, 'Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught.' And Simon answering said unto him, 'Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net.' And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake." It would have been very easy for Simon to say, "No, God, I'm tired. No, I want to go to sleep. No, I've been out here all night, and I have found nothing." But the obedience made all the difference. Whenever you're praying for revival and God gives you an idea, maybe it's something you've tried in the past and it didn't work. Maybe the last time you asked somebody if you could pray with them, they said no. Maybe you're beating yourself up because you still didn't answer that last call to pray with somebody. Maybe you just lack the confidence in your own abilities. Or when God asks you to do something, you immediately think, oh, he couldn't possibly be talking to me. You think maybe that you're unworthy or unqualified, or that the people that you're praying with will know that you're not perfect, or they will know that you don't have it all together. I can't teach that Bible study because I won't have the answer to their questions. Instead of giving God our excuses, let's give him the nevertheless at thy word. I may have asked 5 people if I could pray with them, but nevertheless, at thy word, the 6th is going to say yes. I've tried it before, but nevertheless, at thy word. I may not have all the answers to their questions, but at thy word, God, we'll learn it together. I don't understand, but God, at thy word. When we trust the word of God, we begin to see his works in action. When we hear that word and we respond, we see situations like in Luke chapter 10, verse 2. It says, therefore, he said unto them, the harvest is truly great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore that the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into the fields. When we listen to the voice of God, the harvest is great. The harvest will follow our obedience. The harvest we're seeking comes from the attitude of, here I am, God, send me. It requires action on our part. It requires sacrifice on our part. It requires being a little uncomfortable sometimes. I'm sure Simon would have loved to say, no, I'm going to go to bed. But he said, nevertheless, at thy word, and their nets broke from how many fish they were able to contain. Losing sleep was uncomfortable for him. His body may have appreciated the rest, but instead he listened to the word of God. Nevertheless, no matter what it takes, I want to see the harvest I'm working towards. The harvest requires something from us. It's not easy, but it's so worthwhile. There is a big harvest in the Indian Ocean Islands, but not only there, there's harvest here in Fort Myers. We will see revival among our children. We will see revival in our youth group. We will see revival through our ladies' ministry, in our grow groups. There will be revival, but it's going to take being uncomfortable. It's going to take praying like we've never prayed before, fasting in ways that we've never fasted before, getting into the word of God and saying, here I am, God, send me. If you guys believe that with me, let's just take a moment and pray. God, I pray that you would send us all to the places we are to go, God. Not only in foreign fields, but God, send our prayers. Send our feet where we are supposed to go, God. Send us to the harvest that is already ripe in Fort Myers. God, we believe you for it, and we know that you are going to come through. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So before I have our media team start our video, I just want to give you guys a little challenge this morning. Every day this year, wake up and praise God for the souls he has already placed in your hands. Praise God for the souls that will be added in advance. I want to challenge you to make uncomfortable sacrifices and look at every single situation you walk into as your own personal mission field. That is your here I am, God. Send me. Go ahead, media team.
Hello, everybody. We are John and Alexander Sand. We are appointed aliens to the Indian Ocean Islands.
The Indian Ocean Islands are a diverse group of islands off the east coast of Africa. It's made up of Madagascar, Mayotte, Seychelles, Reunion, and Mauritius.
Although there's so many islands, we will be primarily based out of Mauritius.
Mauritius is a tiny island, only 27 square miles, and it has about 1.2 million people living there.
The primary religion in Mauritius is Hinduism, with it being the African country either at home or in the temple, known as a mandir. Hindu people believe that they have to make offerings of food or flowers and incense to their gods. These offerings are in order to appease their gods and have their prayers heard. What you just saw is known as the Kavadi Cinema. This Hindu festival of devotion and penance involves piercing their bodies with hooks and needles and carrying these large wooden arches upon themselves known as Kavadis. And they're basically just giant altars to their god, and they carry them all the way down to the temple. Before this ceremony, they fast for 10 days. So they prepare themselves spiritually, physically, and mentally for what's going to happen in these festivals. And this ceremony is dedicated to their god known as Muruga, who's the god of youth, love, compassion, beauty, and wisdom, and war. This ceremony basically is dedicated to him, and they seek blessings and purification from this god.
The first time I went to Mauritius, they took us to a Hindu temple. They wanted us to see the spiritual atmosphere of what we were up against in this country we were in. And I remember as I stepped foot into this temple, my heart began to break. I looked around and I saw a lake that was filled with idols. And I saw idols in the front that were being bathed in milk. And I saw an inner room where their most precious idols and their most precious gods live. And over to the side of this room, I remember looking over and seeing this lady. She was on all fours. She was offering a sacrifice to this god, and it was the god of fertility. And I didn't understand what she was saying at the time, but I knew she was praying that she would be able to get pregnant and have a baby. And she was just praying out to this god that didn't hear her, that didn't know her name, that doesn't have the hairs on her head numbered. And I just remember in that moment, just knowing these are the people group that I'm called to. And God just confirming it in my spirit of these people need to know my love. The people of Mauritius, the people who practice the Hindu religion, they need a revelation that I am God, that I am a God of love, that they don't have to pierce their bodies for me to love them, that they don't have to offer me incense for me to love them. I am their God. They need a revelation of who God is, of the one true God who loves, who saves, who died on the cross for their sins and for our sins. And I just remember that feeling of brokenness that I felt, that feeling of oppression, and that's what these people were up against every single day. So please pray with us for the country of Mauritius and for the Hindu people group, that they would just have such a revelation of the love of God.
Mauritius is a beautiful island and home to four UPCI churches that preach the truth of one God, Jesus' name baptism, and the importance of receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost.
Baptisms and those being filled with the Holy Ghost. They are living
said, here am I, send me.
Here I am, God, send me.
Even though we made that video, every time I watch the Hindu festival of Gaudi, it just breaks my heart over and over again. It breaks my heart to know that there's a people group out there that believes that they have to do all these things to their body just to appease some god that doesn't even hear them, some man-made idol who they believe has so many arms, so much power, and he's not even just one god. He's three of them made up into one, known as the Trimurti. And this god that they believe, their supreme god, Brahman, we know he isn't a real god, but how can they know that? How can we be able to tell them if we don't go? If we don't go and tell them the word of God and be able to just share the love, just be able to look at them and say, like, I love you, in their own language, of course. But being able to go is just the first step. Being able to go to a nation that doesn't know you, that you're not familiar with, where you're uncomfortable, that's just the first leg of the journey. And after that, I mean, preaching the word, reaching out, outreach, you name it. I mean, we will do it in order to win souls, in order for these people to hear about the love of God. Because we have experienced this love in our own hearts, in our own lives, in our own bodies. So how can I not share that? How can I not share that with the person that walks through these doors, with the city of Fort Myers that's right here at our doorstep? I'm thankful for Pastor for introducing this tent revival, because I believe our city is going to see great things, right? And I believe that starts with us. That starts with fire being put onto our altars and being taken and spread out throughout the city. Why don't you take another moment and just pray with me for a second. Oh, sanatie ko shata ki eseye. Lord, we open up ourselves to you, O God. Help us to open our hearts and our minds to see the lost and broken souls of our city, God. Help us to see those that are lost and are hurting, O God, in our everyday life. Help us to comfort those, God, that are around us. Help us to spread your love, God. Thank you, mighty God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Sorry, give me one second. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lexi, for that amazing word. Hallelujah, Jesus. I want to switch gears for a second. I have a short little sermonette I'd like to bring to you. We're going to read quite a few scriptures, starting at Genesis chapter 22. Hallelujah, Jesus. Genesis 22, starting in verse number 1, it says, "And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. He said, Take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his donkey
and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up, and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the donkey, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. If only they really knew what was going to happen in that place, maybe they would have stopped Abraham. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife. And they went, both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went, both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand, and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven, and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh. As it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. Amen. Today I'd like to talk to you for a few moments about the topic of answering the why. Answering the why. So this past week I was talking with one of our neighbors in our apartment complex. We've become good friends over the course of some time, and he's a very nice guy with a kind heart. In fact, the other day when I wasn't home, Lexi was trying to take all the coffee stuff from our apartment so we could set up for the cafe that we've been doing out there. And granted, we don't live super high. There's only four floors in our apartment complex, and we live on the second floor. So it's not that big of a deal to carry stuff down. But we also have an elevator, as required by the law. But it's just easier for us to use the staircase. It's just closer to us to reach our car that way. And me and my neighbor were talking, and the way he described it was that Lexi was just carrying this big bin of stuff, and she had like 40 things in her hands. And when he said 40 things, I believed him, because I knew she would try and do something like that. One trip, exactly. We're the same way. And he offered to help her carry some of these things. You know, he's like, hey, like, do you need a hand? And Lexi didn't tell me about this next part. I forgot to ask, and I should have. And I really think I might just be rubbing off a little too much. You know, 8 months of married, you know, we're getting a little bit too similar. But I like to think of myself as a little hard-headed. I'm sure Joe could attest to that. He's laughing back there. Oh, wow. I got a witness over here, too. But on that day that I saw him, the first thing I said to him was, hey, thanks for helping my wife carry some stuff the other day. And he goes, oh, well, I offered. Well, she said no. And at first I was like, what? Really? And then I just had to take a second and think about it. And I was like, yeah, that sounds like something she would do. She's a do-it-herselfer. And like she said, one trip. You got to make one trip. Anyway, my neighbor and I kept on talking, and he attends a local non-denominational church here. And we're just chatting and catching up on things since the last time I've seen him. And we're both being pretty transparent about each other and what's going on in our lives. And he was just telling me about this season of life that he's in right now, about how he's been going through what feels like a forever valley, a valley that goes on forever. And he's been in this season for many years, and he's been trying to get out of it. He's been trying to climb this mountain in front of him. And as he just keeps on climbing, 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 he just comes upon these false peaks. Anybody know what a false peak is? It's when you look up on the mountain and you think it's the peak, and then you climb up there and you realize it's not the peak. You still got some more to go. And these false peaks can happen a lot in our life, especially when that mountain just never seems to end. It just never seems like you're going to get to the end of it. You're never going to get over it. And that's where that term Forever Valley, I coined that, by the way, where Forever Valley comes from. And throughout him telling me all of this, he just kept telling me, he just keeps asking God why. Why he's allowing these things to come into his life. Why this is happening to him specifically. And from my testimony that I shared last week, the words that he was speaking to me reverberated inside of my own life, inside of my own spirit. I could hear these words being spoken in my own voice. And for his particular situation, I brought up the story of Job and how Job pretty much lost everything. He had everything, he lost it, his family, his flocks, everything he had in his life, he lost it. And despite every single one of those things in his life going away, being taken away from him, Job did not turn his back to God. Instead, he fell down, he rent his clothes, he shaved his head, and he worshiped God. And something inside of me was just troubled because I just didn't have the sufficient answers at the time. I couldn't provide better words of clarity into what he was going through, and it just troubled me. It bothered me in my spirit. It bothered me in my heart, and I just began to pray about it and to just seek God. And God reminded me that it's not our place to be answering the whys. It's not my responsibility to speak into what's happening in the lives of those around me. But I know, and you all know, that there is power in the blood of Jesus. Amen. We are mere reflections of his grace and his mercy upon this world. The Bible says that we are the salt and the light. But we know that there is a higher power that we can call upon. When we are weak, he is yet strong. Amen. When we find ourselves asking God, why in the world is this happening to me? We can call upon his name. And we know in times of trouble that when we call upon him, he will deliver us out of those situations. He will deliver us in those times of trouble. And when we are going through trials, we can also find strength in him to keep going. When you're climbing that mountaintop and you come upon that false peak, what can you do? You can take a second, you can rest, you can be present, and pray to God and say, God, give me strength to keep going through this trial. It doesn't seem like it's ending now. It doesn't seem like it's ever going to end. But I know that you have a plan for my life, God, and I know that you're going to bring me through it. Amen. And if we look back on this passage of Scripture, we see this story of God asking Abraham to take his son, his one and his only son. And they had just been gifted this son by the Lord God. All of Abraham's hope, all of his desires, all of his ambitions for his next generation, for his lineage to continue, was all piled up in this one young lad. All of his eggs were in this basket, if you will. God had given him and his wife Sarah a son at an age whereby our medical standards, she shouldn't be able to conceive anymore. God was able to do the impossible in their situation. And now what was God asking? God was asking them to take their son, take him up to the mountaintop, and offer him up for a burnt offering. And then this time in the Old Testament, man, we know man had already fallen short of the glory of God. Adam and Eve were in the Garden of Eden, and they had sinned against God's plan. They had fallen short of God's glory, and they had separated us from God. And during this time period, the people in the Bible had to offer up burnt offerings. Typically, it would be spotless, pure animals, and they would do this unto God to atone for their sins. And it would be a way to seek the beginnings of forgiveness, because they still had to change their hearts. But this lamb was their, basically their signal of saying, God, I'm sorry. I'm going to turn away from this. So Abraham and Isaac are going up to the mountaintop to make a burnt offering. And the Bible tells us that when he was packing for this journey, he took the things that he needed. He took his donkey, laded him up. He took his son. He took two young men with him. And he even took the wood that he needed for the fire. But where was the offering? where was the typical animal sacrifice that we had seen in the Old Testament thus far? And I think about this in Isaac's perspective. You know, I'm still a son. I still ask my dad questions all the time about life. And I'm thinking to myself, like, okay, Dad, we're going to go on this journey. You got the wood. You packed it all in on the donkey. You got the servants. I'm bringing the snacks. But I'm a why type of person. And you can ask the people around me. I like to ask why a lot. A lot. I like to know the reasoning just behind someone's actions. I want to know why you're doing what you're doing. It just helps me to be informed. And really, I'm a control freak. And I like to make sure that the right decision is being made. I like to judge it in my own eyes. So I'm just reading the story in Isaac's perspective, and I'm like, well, what are we doing? Where are we going, Dad? Like, you guys going on this journey, but what's going to happen? And Isaac wasn't in the loop. Isaac was completely clueless about what was going on. But once they got to the place that God told them, Abraham had told his servants, stay there with the donkey. Me and the young lad, we're going to go up to the mountaintop, and we're going to worship God, and we're going to come back. Amen. That was a declaration of faith right there. God didn't exactly say to him, like, oh, yeah, I'm going to provide a burnt offering for you. But Abraham knew the character of God. He knew that God had provided before. He knew the promise that God had for him. And through everything that was telling him otherwise, Abraham had faith in God that he was going to provide. And even if he had to go through and sacrifice Isaac, what was going to happen? God was still going to be good on his promises. And this is where Isaac let his thoughts out. He asked Abraham, Father, we have the fire and we have the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And we can only assume that Isaac had been by his father's side before to perform this sacrificial offering by the way he asked this question. Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? He knows what's going on here. He's like, so Dad, we got the wood, we got the fire, but where's the animal we have to kill for this offering? We have 2/3 of the equation here, but we're still missing a big fat 1/3 of it. Something is just not adding up. And Abraham answered him and said, my son, God will provide a lamb for a burnt offering. And despite everything that is telling Isaac that this isn't making sense, that something is amiss here, he knows that his father has been faithful to God. And if he said, God will make a way, what good is it to question it? What is it like to have the faith of Abraham in this situation? Despite everything else that's going on, we can still trust in God. Just like we sang earlier, I trust in God, my Savior. And the word of the Lord says in verse 9, and they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. Amen. Musicians, if you could join me on the platform. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, mighty God. I'm here to tell you guys today that God has spoken promises over our own lives, and we have held on to them so dearly. He has spoken into us things that we are just waiting for them to happen. Whether it be in our families, in our jobs, in our bodies, we're just waiting for that breakthrough. We're just waiting to reach that peak. And we're just in that everyday cycle of just climbing as much as we can on the mountaintop. But God is asking us today, are we willing to be like Abraham? Are we willing to take those words that he has given us and to go to that secret place where he has called us? Are we willing to take that wood and bring our own promises that we have been given and lay them down on that altar, on this altar? Are we truly trusting in God's plan? Despite it making sense in our own logic. Our own human logic can only go so far. If we just think about it in our own ways, in our own mind, it will only bring us so far. But God's logic is different than ours, amen? It might go against every single thing that your life has been leading towards. It might not make complete sense to us right now in this moment. But are we willing to lay down the promise we have now for the greater things that are yet to come? Are we willing to sacrifice some things in order for our city to see revival? Pastor mentioned that we're going to start doing prayer on Tuesday. But what are we going to do today? What are we going to do in this moment right now? In youth class today, we were talking about New Year's resolutions. And we were reflecting upon last year. And one thing that I said that I wanted to change in this year is being present in everyday moments. Not just having a schedule lined up, not just looking towards the next thing, because then I'm missing the thing that's right in front of me. I'm missing the time that God wants me to enjoy right now, the season that I'm in right now. And although we're looking forward to going to the Indian Ocean Islands this coming March, or whenever God leads, I still want to be present in every day today. I still want to be present in every service that we have at this church, because every single day is a gift from God, amen. And every single day, I have an opportunity to praise the one true King. So are we willing to sacrifice some things? Are we willing to give up some things so that our neighbors will have a revelation of God? To me, when I apply this sentence to my own life, am I willing to give up some things in my own life so that the Hindu people groups that we're going to reach will have a revelation of his goodness? That they will have a revelation of the Godhead? That they will have a revelation of his love? Are we willing to lay aside our carnal desires in order to see God use us for his glory? And we know that Abraham didn't end up sacrificing his son, because we read that he stretched forth his hands with that knife, is ready to lay it all down on the altar, and God sent that angel to stop him and said, "Abraham, Abraham." And God accepted his faithfulness in that moment that he was ready to sacrifice Isaac. And instead, he provided a ram caught in the bushes for a burnt offering. And we know that Jesus did the same thing for us. He was the sacrifice for our sins. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." We have all fallen short of the glory of God, and the debt of sin needed to be paid in our lives. God wrapped himself in flesh and was birthed of a Virgin Mary and dwelt among us. He walked the same earth that we do. He went through the same pains, the same battles, and Jesus was his name. And even though he was sinless, he was beaten and tortured and crucified and paid the ultimate price for us on a hill called Calvary. He died and rose again to life on the third day. The death of Jesus Christ redeemed us out of our sin and covered the separation from God. And now what do we have? We have all the access that we want to him. And the truth is, he wants a relationship with us, each and every single one of us. He wants to live inside of our hearts, and all it just takes is a few simple steps. God wants us to turn away from our sins, be baptized in Jesus' name through water immersion, and be filled with his Spirit by evidence of speaking in tongues. Then you can have that power of Jesus inside of you that you can call upon when things just don't look so good in your life, when you need some help at the grocery store, when you need some more strength to just get through your day. God is there to meet our needs. If you'd stand with me today. And I hear God speaking us today that when his call comes forward and we hear it and we answer it, there will be a testing of our faithfulness. There has definitely been some testing of our faith, mine and Lexi's. But it's in order to stretch us. It's in order to push us forward. It's in order to see where our breaking point is and just push us a little bit past it. And my neighbor talked about this as well. He said that he feels like God's pushing him to this breaking point, and he doesn't want to lose God in his life, but he wants to be able to do this with him. And although he wasn't ready to receive it at the time, I just needed to tell him the good news about Jesus Christ. And that's what all of us need to hear today. All of us need to be reminded of the good news of Jesus Christ. And all of those in the countries that we're going to reach need to be told about his good news. That Jesus died on the cross for us. He has came and redeemed our sins, and he wants to live inside of us. He wants our bodies to be a temple for his spirit to live inside. And in this call that God's stretching forth to us today, he's going to ask us to lay on the line every single promise, every single word that he has spoken over our lives, even when it doesn't make sense, even when our generations to come rely on this very promise that's in front of us. We need to be like Abraham and to take that wood and take the promises that God has given us and go to that place he wants us to go and build an altar. He wants us to build an altar of sacrifice, and God will send down his eternal fire. God will send down that spiritual fire that will consume us. And on this altar that will truly stretch us, he is waiting there, just waiting on the other side for us to get through our trial, for us to keep pushing through, and to just say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Through every trial, through every season, there is a light on the other side. And I'm here to remind that to you today. We're not supposed to be asking why we're going through this, why we're going to have this situation in our lives. It's normal behavior. But why do we need to ask those questions? We don't need to. We just need to have faith and trust in God. And I'm trusting in God through every single situation that's coming in our lives. And I want to open up these altars today for you to just receive an infilling of the Holy Ghost. And not just that, but let's break some things today. Let's start to break some things down, cut some things out of our life so that we can just begin to prepare our bodies as a living sacrifice, so that we can prepare ourselves for this revival that God wants to happen in our city. And we will begin to prepare ourselves for our upcoming trip. Thank you.
aren't you thankful that we serve a living God? He is able to meet our needs, to answer us when we are in need. Amen, amen. I thank you, John and Lexi, for your message today, sharing your heart, your burden. Amen. Sometimes we get hung up on the why, and that kind of delays the answer, right? Because we're stuck here. Why? Well, trust in God and the answer will come sooner, right? We get out the whys out of the way and just know that God's going to make a way. Amen. Amen. So they have that heart and a passion and a calling to the Indian Ocean Islands, over, I don't know how, 10,000 plus miles away, leaving all this behind. Amen. But they need help and support. They need prayer, obviously. We need to cover them as in prayer, right? But they also need financial support. They're raising and saving their own money, but they also need partners in missions through the Global Missions Department. They require these things to support them. Amen. And so we as a church, we're obviously going to support them, but we're going to ask you all to help support them as well. They are one of our own, right? If there's any missionary on the field that I should support personally, it's our own kids, right? All they need is 30 people to sponsor them $50 a month, and they'll have everything ready to go. $50 a month for 30 people. There's a lot more than 30 people here. And I think we could give up a few of our luxuries, our $5 Starbucks, whatever it is that we spend a lot of money on. Hey, I'm not doing this today because I'm going to support my missionary, right? I think we can do that as a church, because if we don't do it as their home church, they got to go to other churches and beg them. That should be a reproach on us, right? We can't support our own, so they have to go to other churches to ask them for money. We should be able to support them, right? We've never had this before, our own. It is a great blessing and a great honor. They can go overseas and say, my home church supports me 100%. And so I'm asking you, they have cards out there that you can sign up. Normally the church, when missionaries come through here, normally the church will decide if we're going to take them on, and it gets complex when everybody says, oh, I'll support them all. Well, we as a church support 43 missionaries every single month. 43. I believe God blesses us because of that, right? We send those monies, go reach revival overseas, because the whole world needs to hear the gospel, right? And so I believe God blesses those who give to others outside. We support 43 missionaries every month. Over $2,000 every month goes out just for missionaries. And I'm going to be honest, $2,000 does not come in for missionaries. If you look on the envelope, it says faith promise. That's for every dollar that goes overseas, goes out of this church. Support orphanages, missionaries, new churches. Faith promise does that. And not enough comes in every month to support everything we do. But I know God makes up the difference. Amen. So I'm asking all of us to consider prayerfully supporting our own. And if you're already given to faith promise and already given to missions, don't take away from that and say, I'm going to give it to this. No, it's an extra sacrifice. I believe God blesses sacrifices, don't you? Amen. And so I'm asking, we can get 30 people to $50 a month. Amen. And they can go and start reaching those Hindu people that are more bound than we are. Amen. That money goes for a good cause. Amen. Amen. So visit their booth out there. They have lots of information. Help them out any way they can. But I believe that we can support them as a church just on our own. Amen. God's been so good to us. And he's not done, right? The rest hasn't even been told what he's going to do. If we're willing to sacrifice some of our comforts, God's going to use that to do great things. Amen. Amen. God bless you all today. Thank you for coming. Amen. Be sure to stop.